T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, as New Yorkers navigate how to safely celebrate Thanksgiving during a pandemic, a special guest joining us live now this morning here on 1010 Winds, Dr. Anthony Fauci. We have so many questions for you today. So glad you could make time for us.
Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So welcome to Thanksgiving Getaway Day. We have to tell you that despite your words of caution about travel during a pandemic, there is still plenty of activity at New York area airports this morning. Not as much as usual, but I'm sure more than you'd like to see. People are telling us that either travel can't be avoided or it's a risk they've decided to take. What kind of factors do you think people should be taking into account if we do decide to do a travel risk assessment for ourselves?
Well, I think the things you must take into account, and this is what I recommend and I do myself, you have to make is what I call a risk-benefit determination, that if you have in your household or people are visiting who are either elderly or who have one of the several underlying conditions, which would make a much higher risk that if they do get infected, they will have a very serious outcome. We just know that from now, unfortunate, extensive experience over the last 10 months. So there are relative risks. I mean, if you have people in the family who are generally young, healthy individuals, no underlying risk factors, it's much less of a difficulty or much less of a risk than if you're bringing people together in considerable numbers and you have people who do have these underlying conditions. One thing people need to understand that when you are in the home with people with whom you are familiar, you tend to let your guard down. And many, many of the infections, you know, up to half right now, when you do modeling determinations, are transmitted from an individual who has no symptoms. So you may be in the household thinking that everything is all right, everyone looks good, feels good. And then all of a sudden, you know, a few weeks later, you find out that there was one person inadvertently and innocently who was infected and spread the infection throughout the household. We have multiple examples of that. So that's what we mean when we say, A, take a risk-benefit assessment of what you're doing, make up your mind, do it, but know what risk you're doing. And if you come to the conclusion, which we suggest people do, that it is much better just for this year to have a much smaller group and to, as much as possible, wear masks even indoor. Obviously, you can't do that when you're eating and when you're drinking. But you just have to be careful because a bit of a sacrifice now may lead to many more healthy and happy Thanksgivings in the future.
I know what a lot of people are thinking, that from day one of the pandemic, Americans were advised to avoid crowded spaces. So we did. Millions of us worked from home. We gave up eating out and live entertainment. We skipped crowded trains. We did all that. Now, right in advance of the holiday season, we're being told to avoid even small gatherings outside our own households. Explain to us what's changed and why the advice from health experts has evolved.
Yeah. What actually has changed is the more and more we get into this, and we're multiple months into it, the more you realize that there may be risk situations that you didn't fully appreciate before. And what we have now is a situation where still the large congregate settings, the hanging out in bars indoor, particularly when the weather is cold so that there's not good ventilation and people are not wearing masks, that's still is the major driving factor of transmission. But we also found that parties that are friends and family that get together outside of individuals that are in your immediate household still remain a source of spread of infection. So when you have the degree of community spread that we have now, if you look at the slope of the curve, we're breaking records every day. I mean, we have now well over 20 days in a row of more than 100,000 infections. So when you have that amount of virus in the community, the chances, if you have a dinner party or a social gathering outside of those who are in your immediate household, I mean, people in addition to those who actually live in your house with you, and you bring in outside people who could clearly be infected and not know it, because a considerable amount of infections are transmitted by people who have absolutely no symptoms. So you bring people into the house, you know them, they're friends, but you don't know that they may have been in contact with someone who infected them and they don't have any symptoms yet. So inadvertently and innocently, when you bring people into the home in larger and larger numbers, the risks get more and more. And that's the reason why the recommendation is, as long as we have this intensity of infection in the community, and it really is intense to have in your country well over 100,000 new infections each day for more than 20 days in a row, that there are differences from region to region, but some places have such a high degree of community spread that the risk that you just mentioned is real. It's not made up. It's a real risk. You don't want to scare people, but you want to say, for the time being, until this surge goes down, just be more careful about bringing people into your home who do not immediately live there.
Let's talk now about the vaccine. Just in the last 24 hours, there seems to be a lot of optimism that we're going to see at least one of the vaccines approved by the FDA sometime next month. Assuming that happens, do New Yorkers have to be concerned at all that the vaccine won't be available here as quickly as perhaps in other states or regions?
Well, I hope not. We're all hoping that there would be equitable distribution based on not only population, but the risk that people have, namely the final determination of what the prioritization will be, because not everybody's going to have access to the vaccine at exactly the same time. That would be logistically impossible, as well as the fact that the doses are still being manufactured, so we don't have enough. When you get to the middle or end of December, it is very likely that at least two of the vaccines that have now been shown to be highly efficacious, the doses will be available. And the projection is about 40 million doses, which would mean 20 million people would be able to get vaccinated. The prioritization of who those people are will still be determined by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, which traditionally does that. We don't have the final determination, but if history repeats itself, when you have these shortages in the sense of not having enough for everyone at exactly the same time, there will be prioritizations, most likely healthcare workers and the people who are putting themselves at risk to take care of individuals, as well as people who are very vulnerable, like the elderly and those with underlying condition. That's not the final determination. That, as I mentioned, will be made by the CDC after the vaccine gets an emergency use authorization to be distributed by the FDA.
We only have about a minute left or so to speak with you this morning. Before you go, though, we need to ask if you've heard at all from President-elect Biden or his transition team. We know you've served under about a half a dozen presidents, and now that there is an official transition underway, have you been contacted, and what might your role be under the next administration?
Well, I have not been contacted personally by President-elect Biden, but I have been contacted by Ron Klain, who's his chief of staff. I know Mr. Klain for years and years. I've worked with him closely during the Ebola outbreak and the Obama administration. And he just wanted to touch base in anticipation for what we've seen recently, namely a loosening up of this transition issue. So I likely will be talking in more detail with him, but I have been in contact with him just talking about touching bases as we move into a transition.
And again, do you know anything about what your role might be? Or how about the handoff, I should really ask you about, from one president to another, from one administration to another? Are there plans in place to ensure it's a smooth handoff?
Yeah, well, that's what we're trying to do. And that's why there was such concern about the lack of transition. But now that we're having a transition, that's a really good thing. My projection is that my role will be continued the role I am now. I mean, I'm a civil servant. I'm the director of a very large institute at the National Institutes of Health, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. And as you mentioned, I've been involved with six administrations. This will be my seventh as the leader of the institute that does most of the research or funds most of the research on infectious diseases. So I would assume that I will be involved again now with my seventh administration.
All right, Dr. Anthony Fauci, we have so many more questions for you, but we've run out of time, unfortunately. We do thank you for phoning in this morning and speaking with us on 1010 Wins.
Thank you for having me.